And then I'm going to ask if there's somebody maybe who's got a testimony you'd like to share, maybe just something God spoke to you right now, just in the worship. You can come forward. Martin, you're welcome to come. Or maybe some of you on the camp, maybe God spoke to you and you just feel that you want to share it with anyone. So anyone like that, you guys can come forward so long. If they just make a queue here on my left-hand side, if there is anyone like that. Martin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to say right now, I just got a word from God. And I think that's the best way that we can describe God. I just want to say to God, God, you are poetry in motion. Every little move you make is poetry in motion. And poetry is so beautiful. And yeah, God is awesome. Thank you.
I just want to share that I've been feeling a little bit of like anxiousness, but about nothing. Like it's deep inside anxiousness, that's not something specific. And I realized while I was worshiping that it was about a fear of failure, but about just everything. It was something much deeper inside beyond one thing. And then when I just gave that to God and I realized, okay, there's grace. You know, He loves us so much. And there's nothing to prove anymore. He really isn't. So we can live free of those fears and those anxieties. But we need to come to Him and come into His presence and let go.
Michelle.
Hi. Yeah, those of you that were on the camp this weekend will know that it was like really amazing. And those that weren't there, it was really amazing. just the weekend really with the worship and just the spirit that was there, it was so intense. And last night with worship, it was probably like 2 hours that we were just in the spirit and just allowed God to move. And it was probably of the most intense encounter that I've ever had with God. And I was here in the beginning of worship now tonight. I was like, okay, worship again. And I thought to myself, how can this be better than what the weekend was? And then I worshipped and sang a bit, and then it was just more intense than I've ever experienced. I was standing there, and you know that song says, my heart turns violently inside my chest. I had this feeling in my chest, and it was just so intense. I couldn't laugh, I couldn't cry, I couldn't do anything. I didn't even have strength to fall down. I was just standing there, and I just couldn't do anything. And it's just, God can top anything. God can, whatever you've experienced, any good things you've experienced, God can always top it, and God wants to top it. And if you are open to it, then He will top it, and you'll just blow your mind away.
Hi. Arthur was speaking. I just saw a picture of Jesus walking among us, and as He walks from person to person, handing out like mantles and crowns and scepters to every person. And it's not about like the value of the crown or whatever, but that just that He wants to say that He has a purpose with every single life in here, and something precious to do with every single life, and a purpose and something to do with, you know, with everybody. So even though you may just feel invaluable, like He values every life that's here tonight.
Hi everyone. There's like two things. I'll give you the nutshell version. As I was sitting there, it's amazing. God was like, I'm resetting the boundaries that you set on me. In fact, to the point where I'm breaking them so that there'll never be any boundaries that you set on Him ever again. Like, He's really challenging us. If you've noticed, like, worship has just gotten a lot more intense. And so that's amazing. And the second thing, I saw a picture of like a football game, but like an American football game. Like, there's two guys, the blockers, the guys that actually shield the guy that's running with the ball. And God is like, that's my love for you, that He's committed to us. so that we can keep on running with the purpose and the desire that He set in our hearts. And know that He'll take the hits. He'll keep blocking and blocking and blocking so that you can keep running. And that's what He said.
Hi, everyone. During the worship, I was just so aware of God being present here and Him holding my hand through all the songs we sang and dancing with me. And when the silence came, I just saw Him, almost like me, I saw Him going through everyone, all the rays, and just giving everyone kisses on their cheeks. And, yeah, just like the song says, He really loves us so much, so, so much.
Are you going to say what you were going to say or something else?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Britta. I joined Shofar Pretoria in 2005, which is a while ago. I'm older than I might look. many people think I'm still at school. I'm not. and I've moved to London in the meantime. I got married in 2008 and moved to London with my husband, Marcus, who some of you might know. And it's been an amazing time, and I've just got a short testimony to share with you about my flight back on Friday. I got on the plane at Heathrow in London, and I traveled all the way to Amsterdam. There's a very big airport in Amsterdam called Schiphol, and it's a scary airport. I've seen it on documentaries, and I was a bit anxious to go there. And the week before I flew, I was very panicky and just really, not very emotional. I feel sorry for my husband. During that week, it wasn't so great. and just couldn't sleep and was very, just not in a good place. Wasn't spending time with the Lord and had really neglected spending time with the Lord for a while. So I got on the plane and I just wanted to sleep. I was so tired. Wrapping everything up at work is quite a mission when you go on holiday. And I sat down and a businessman sat down next to me, and God immediately started talking to me and said, "You need to speak to this guy." And I was like, "No, I don't want to. Lord, I'm really tired. I just want to sleep now, okay?" and he just kept speaking to me and kept pushing me, and he told me very specific things to say to this guy. He told me to say to him that he needs to get his heart checked out. So the person with a heart problem, please come to me. I've been praying for people with heart problems. It seems to work. So I just didn't want to say all the things that God told me to say to him, but eventually I started a conversation with him. I work in customer services, so I have a bit of experience with European customers. And I tried to start the conversation that way, and I did, and he was happy to listen. And eventually I did say what God told me to say to him, and that was to get his heart checked out and not to stress so much at work. God told me to tell him that his future in terms of finances is set. He doesn't have to worry about finances anymore, and that he should spend time with his family, which is more important than anything in the world when you're a father. It's not more important than God, but it is the second most important thing, I think. So I told him these things, and I said, I'm a Christian. You might think I'm really crazy, but I speak to God, and he just told me these things. And he was, willing to accept that. And I also gave him a little Bible that I've had since 1997, and it's one of those Gideon Bibles where at the back you write your name and if you accept the Lord, and I did that in 1997. It was one of the times that I committed my life to the Lord. I've done it a few times since and a few times before. So I gave him this and I said to him, I've had this Bible since 1997, but I want you to have it because I've got many Bibles. You take it. And I gave him another booklet, sort of a daily devotional that they have in England, which is very relevant to sort of European life and all the stresses we face over there. And I gave it to him and said, please read this. If you have a minute, it's more important than anything in the world. And this book changed my life. And he was, happy to accept that. And, I'm still praying for him. His name is Philippe. If you can please pray, you will remember him. he's French. So he gave me his business card, and God, before I even spoke to him, God said to me, this man has a lot of influence, so that's why I really want you to speak into his life. And when I looked at his business card, I almost fell over because he's a director of the European syndicate for a really big bank in Europe. So I was just completely overwhelmed by how the Lord led me into the situation. And because I was so intensely talking to this man, I forgot my passport in the airplane, which is a very bad thing in Europe. It's a very bad thing anyway. It was not just my I have a German passport and a South African passport, so I forgot that. My marriage certificate, because of the name changes, my ID book, my South African ID book, my flight itinerary, everything valuable for the flight was in there, and I left it in front of the thing. So now I'm on this airport, and it's Schiphol, and I'm panicking because this is huge. And I just, in that panic moment, I just said, Lord, I need your help right now. I need to know where to go. And that guy had already directed me in the right direction, so I ran to the first person who looked official. I asked her. She directed me to another place, and they directed me to another place. And all along the way, those people were really amazing, and I was just begging them and said, you know, please, please help me. And they were really amazing and helped me so much and worked so well together as a team. So eventually I did get my passports back, which is a miracle at that airport. And they were talking in Dutch, and because I understand Afrikaans and speak a bit, I could hear what they were saying, and this could happen and that could happen. The plane could have turned around and gone wherever. And I was like, oh. But I just trusted the Lord through the whole thing and said, you know, Lord, I know. I just stand on your word that you are with me now and that you will help me to get through the situation. And I arrived, at the other aeroplane that took me to Johannesburg. And on that flight, it was another amazing thing. I was sitting next to a family from Birmingham who had two small children. They're also Christians. And I've been waiting just to make more contact with British Christians in the UK. It's quite difficult sometimes to get in touch with people. So that was an answer to prayer in itself. And I spent a lot of time helping with the children and, yeah, just sharing with them, speaking to the lady and the guy. And on my right-hand side, there was another businessman who was going to Cape Town, and he was a very confused atheist. He said he was an atheist, but he believed a lot of things. I just was able to speak into his life as well and just have a long discussion with him. So I just want to encourage you that this is the life that God wants us to live. It's possible. I didn't think that this was possible before I got on that plane. I was quite discouraged, very tired, and thought, you know, for many weeks I thought, you know, what's going on, was uncomfortable as well. So I just want to encourage you, this is not impossible. This is what God wants us to do. Not everybody is going to share the gospel in the same way, but just use every opportunity you have. When you're in the taxi, on the bus, when you're just with people, just speak to them. Start a conversation about something that you have in common. For me and the European person, was, you know, that we deal with European customers. It can be anything. Speak about family. People are always happy to speak about their family. So yeah, I just want to encourage you to really stand on God's word, and when you're in that panic situation, just speak his name into that situation and be strong. And also just want to convey lots of greetings from all the people in London, from Shofar London. We love you guys, and we're really thinking of you and praying for you as well, for all the churches here in South Africa. And just ask that you pray for us as well. It's quite a challenging environment spiritually in the UK, but there's a lot of great stuff happening there. So just want to encourage you, really, let's just keep praying for each other. Our family is a great family.
Thanks, Britta. If you could just extend your faith out with me as we just thank God for the privilege of being able to give. God, we thank you that as we give this evening, God, we've given because you have given to us, Lord. God, every cent in these baskets, God, you know where they come from, Lord. You know the hearts that have given. And I pray, God, that you would multiply it back to every heart, Lord. God, that you would give us the desires of our heart, Lord, but more than anything, God, that your kingdom would come in Pretoria, in London, throughout this whole country, Lord God, and through the nations, that your name may be glorified, Lord. God, we pray that you would use this finance, Lord, to bring souls to know the love of Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. It's good having church. Can we just quickly, while Britta is here, Britta, where are you now? Yeah, just come up in. Just come and share with us one or two challenges that the church has in London, and then if it's okay with you, we'll just take a few minutes and pray for our family in London and pray for them specifically. So just one or two of the major challenges that you guys are going through right now.
Right. I think the main challenge in the UK and in Europe generally is just spiritual death. There are many churches, but there are traditional churches, and I have nothing against traditional churches. It's just the Spirit of God is not there. So the congregation that I am a part of is in a town called Weybridge. It's near London, but a little bit outside. I think there, in Weybridge itself, sort of the spiritual environment, there's a lot of traditional churches who've been there for a long time. But the Spirit is not there. Just to pray for the Holy Spirit to really stir people's hearts, I think would be a very good prayer to pray. We want to also partner with UK, like local churches. And we've had a word recently from a UK person in our church who said that we are there for a season to encourage the churches that are there. And even those old churches, there were people long ago who founded those churches who really loved God and they really wanted His Spirit to reign in the UK. But there's been a lot of moral degeneration in Europe. People live very immoral lives. Not all of them, but and that's a generalization, but there's a lot of immorality and families degenerating. So tough challenges there, but there's so much opportunity as well to speak into families' lives, to just speak into marriages. Yeah, I would ask you to pray for just the Holy Spirit to return to the hearts of people who love God but who have lost the Spirit. And also the moral degeneration in the country.
Amen. Okay, so let's break up quickly in groups of threes or fours, and let's pray for London. The UK church, we've just had a change in leadership as well. Pastor Andres came back from London. He's back to Stellenbosch. We've got Pastor Franz who went over there now. Let us pray, as Britta said, for revival. Okay, that God will touch that nation, and He will give the saints their boldness, open doors to proclaim the Word of God boldly. If you want to pray by yourself, you're welcome to do that. If you want to know prayer, you pray with somebody. You can pray by yourself as well. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we can come together as family, God, and just have church, God. And Lord, want to lift up Shofar UK to You, God, in Weybridge and Tooting, Lord God, London, Lord, and just speak. Wimbledon, God, we pray for them right now, Father. We pray that even as we are extending our faith towards them, God, that they would know that we are in the Spirit with them. That they would be encouraged, God. We pray for open doors, God, that You will give them, that no man can shut, Lord, in Jesus' name, boldness to proclaim Your Word, God. Hallelujah, God. We worship You, God. We worship You. We thank You, Lord. Oh God, man, tell me, Hallelujah, God. We worship You, Lord. We worship You. We thank You, Father. We bless You. We praise You, God. We honor You, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we can know tonight that we are not alone, God. That all over this globe, God, there are people lifting up the name of Jesus. All over this globe, there are people sold out on You and on Your kingdom. That the church has never been stronger, God, that in spite of everything the enemy has thrown at us throughout all the generations, God, Your church is still advancing because You are building it. And nothing can stand against it, Lord. And so we thank You that we can come together as family tonight. Lord, to so experience Your presence, God.
being uplifted by the words of encouragement that we can bring to one another, God, by the same Holy Spirit that lives in us. Whether we come from here, God, or from some small town or big city in our nation, God, or whether we're in the UK, or whether we're from Cameroon or Zimbabwe, God, all of us represented here tonight, or France, God, that the same Spirit that lives inside of us, moves in us, speaks to us, quickens us, God, and makes us one with you. And Lord, so tonight we thank you for the blessing of unity. God, the blessing of diversity, God, and your blood that binds us together and does awesome things, God, that we would never have thought possible. Thank you that you didn't leave us to ourselves, Jesus, when you went to the Father, but you gave us the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we are so grateful for your presence. We are so grateful for your voice. And we thank you for the desire that you have to have us come close to you. And we just want to reciprocate that tonight, Lord. We don't know what it's going to look like tomorrow, God. We don't know what it's going to look like next week. Lord, but we do know that we want to be no other place than here with you. And thank you, Lord, that as we heard through Britta, that here can be anywhere. That you are the great I Am with us. And wherever we go, it's holy ground because of your presence in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is very good. And he is especially good to you who haven't been in the camp, because he brought the camp to you tonight. Everything that happened on the camp was brought back home. So many of the words, even Britta, who wasn't on the camp, seems like you were a fly on the wall. The Lord gave you some divine insight as to what happened there, because we were exactly speaking about that. Just being in the presence of the Lord and then just shining our light wherever God places us. Being the salt and the light exactly where we find ourselves. And what's amazing about a testimony, I love that, it's just the honesty as well to just come up here and say, I was a bit of a nasty person to my husband. Takes courage for a wife to say that. And so continue to pray for the husband as well. What's his name? Mark. The Lord will strengthen him. But just being so honest here and saying I didn't even get around to spending as much time with God as I wanted to. And yet God presented her with this opportunity to minister. That had very little to do with her effort during that week. It was simply about God's love for that other person. And that God cares enough to speak to somebody else about his situation. And that is what God has called us to. You know, so don't let your circumstances discourage you. Don't let your lack of time to get to God, or, you know, even the struggles that you are going through, don't let that discourage you. God loves the people around us, and he's just wanting people to just be in a place where they can hear that. I love you. And however God wants to manifest his love through you, just flow with it. So I want to bring a very short word tonight. It's a verse that all of us are very familiar with. Any one of us who have been saved for a while, who knows, or have been around Christians, who have received a birthday card or a birthday wish or an SMS, somewhere along the line you would have received this verse. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and to give you a future. And I don't know how many of you lately have read that verse, but I stumbled across it about 2 weeks ago, and I realized that, you know, that verse has almost lost its power to a certain extent, because I've heard it so often. I've come across it so often, and I suspect sometimes that, you know, some believers would send you that verse when they've run out of ideas, or they didn't get around to praying to God to actually find out what is God saying to you. It's like sort of the default verse you fall back with. You can't make a mistake with that. Sending that to somebody. You know? And it's so powerful. If you actually stop like we did tonight and just stop and think about the love of God. Like Vanilla Ice said in the 80s, stop, collaborate, and listen. Collaborate with the Holy Spirit. Sit still. The Bible Vanilla ice is biblical. The Bible says selah, which means stop. Listen. And if we would just stop our agendas and our busy lives and just listen. So I have it up there as the thought of the day, but, you know, in terms of God and His perspective, a day can be an age, can be a lifetime. And the God, the Afrikaans actually said it so beautiful. We had an amazing service this morning. By the way, remind me to pray for the people who played soccer against Philip at the camp. Just for inner healing, outer healing, whatever it was that you were. Forgiveness, there's an F3 coming up soon. And they'll walk around with the grudges. Let's get it over and done with. But the Afrikaans service morning was amazing. We had a baby dedication. Wilma and Dion van Biljon. The baby was dedicated to little Mia. And she's about 11 days old, I think. And it was such an awesome, awesome morning. We all felt a little bit like Moses. Wanting to take the shoes off our feet because we were in the presence of God. And, you know, it was so amazing standing there and seeing this little baby. And she was so, she kept us waiting. She took a very long time before she was born. But it went very well with the whole birthing process, and the Lord was very good. It's a beautiful little baby girl. She's gorgeous. And just seeing her lying in her dad's arms, so peaceful, so calm. And, you know, there wasn't too much that she could bring to the party in terms of the Van Biljon household. There isn't too many chores she can do right now. She can't, you know, mow the lawn or clean the dishes or tidy up her room, be an entrepreneur, bring some extra money, you know, to increase her budget. But there's something that happens when a little life is so dependent upon you as another human being. There is a joy that you get out of somebody, and we could see it. It's Dion standing there, and there's a little baby in his arms, and looking up at him, and yeah, I wonder whether he heard anything that I prayed. He was like, in heaven. But the Lord spoke to us so powerfully about the fact that when we are in the presence of a new life, those of you who are uncles or aunts, or maybe you had a very large lamiki as a sister or a brother, or you know some friends who have babies, and you were in the hospital when the baby just arrived, you know what happens to your heart when you see something so miraculous, so new, so untainted, so innocent. It's as if this breath of fresh air blows into your life and stirs your heart, reminds you of everything that is possible. Of how you can actually approach life. Of how life was supposed to be lived in terms of dependency and openness and transparency. And the Lord ministered to us so powerfully. This is His heart for Mia. If God were to be present here this morning physically, and if there was something that He would want to say to Mia, it would be this. Little Mia, I know the thoughts that I have for you. And there's so many parents or potential parents or people who are saying, listen, I'm not going to bring a baby into this world. Not this world. Do you know the stats? Do you know the crime? Do you know the corruption? Do you know the violence? Do you know the decay in our educational system? Do you know the decay in our healthcare system? Do you know what you are doing by bringing a child into this world? So many thoughts, so many fears that so many people have over our lives. And the Lord comes, the Lord says, but I know the thoughts that I have for you. And Afrikaans has got a beautiful word where it says that I know the thoughts that I think towards you. It says, ek weet die gedagtes wat ek aangaande jou koester. And koester speaks about a nurturing. So it's a beautiful Afrikaans word that speaks about when you are so in love with something and that thing is so precious to you that you guard it with everything that you have. That you look at it constantly, you polish it, you water it, you feed it to the forefront of your thoughts. And then God is coming and He's saying, listen, the thoughts that I have for you aren't fleeting thoughts that change. Today the thoughts of good and peace, and tomorrow you upset me, and then the thoughts of evil. I just want to bash you in and wicked earth, get rid of you. God says, now the thoughts that I have for you are thoughts that are forefront of my thoughts, and I think about them all the time. And Philip said so powerfully that there's something inside of us that struggles to believe that God is like obsessed with you. He like thinks of you constantly. I was in Cape Town about 2 weeks ago, Jonathan and Annika went along with me and we survived the plane journey. My wife stayed behind. And it was just amazing, you know, when I was away, it was a very long week being down in Cape Town. It was, oh, you're in Cape Town, we were there for conference. The conference was amazing, but by Tuesday it felt long. I just so missed my wife, like, oh man, I want to go home. So I organized some stuff for her, just a surprise here and there. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I couldn't, you know, believe that how for granted I take her sometimes when I'm around her. And just that hole when she isn't there. And God is not a little bit like that. He's more like that. He's like organizing things around your life for you just to have an encounter with His heart. He's setting you up for you to be confronted with this. I know the thoughts that I have for you, and I want to display this to you. I'm going to show to you that my thoughts, my plans for you are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a hope and to give you a future. In Jeremiah 31, he goes on and says, there's a hope for your future. That's a sermon by itself. There's a hope for your future. Whether you find yourself here or in another nation or another town, there's hope for your future. God has an amazing plan for your life. A plan that's got everything to do with His plan for this earth and what He has in store. But you know, this verse wasn't given to people who were the top rung of success and had everything their hearts desired. This, let's go back. The word for is quite important whenever you come across it in the Bible. It means, normally means that something happened beforehand that is against what God is saying here. God is saying a whole bunch of stuff was said. Then He comes and says, but listen, I know the thoughts of heaven. And I'm wanting to explain to you what my thoughts are towards you. This is why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. And I know that in my own life, the times when my life really feels long and it feels like I'm in a challenge, it's when I begin to doubt and I begin to wonder, God, what the heck are you busy with? Have you ever had a thought like that? Anything in life ever happened that you think, now if I could just figure out what He is busy with, what is He thinking? Allowing this in my life, what is He planning with my life? If I could just know what He's busy with, then it would be easier for me to get through this. If I could just sort of know where I'm going, then I'd be able to, you know, be more patient and be more kind or be more relaxed because I know everything's going to work out. And I know that I'm supposed to read Revelation at the end of the book and everything is fine, you know. God wins and we're all with Him and we win. But there are circumstances in our lives that sometimes come against us that frustrate this thought. And then it's so important just to take the time out around this. And I want to speak to us just about Israel's life. If you can go to the next one. God comes to Jeremiah 21, the first verse, and He says, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive. This wasn't about 600 or before Christ. To the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king, the queen, mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. And here we see the Israelites have been taken forcefully because of their disobedience, because they forsook the God of their fathers, because they wanted to worship idols, because they were relying on other armies and generals to protect them and turned away from God, sacrificed their own babies to pagan gods, got involved in temple prostitution, all sorts of nonsense that went on there. They were captured, all the important leaders, the hierarchy of society in Israel, captured and taken to Babylon. Now, Jerusalem represents everything that was good and noble in Israel. Jerusalem represents the place where the temple was. And you remember Solomon's temple? David had it in his heart to build the temple. And he couldn't. God said, your son will build the temple. He managed to build the temple. It was an amazing edifice, an amazing structure. Completed it, dedicated it to the Lord, and then the Lord's presence came in there. Everybody fell to their feet. Thousands of people. It says the priests couldn't stand because of the Shekinah glory. The cloud of God's presence came in. And Jerusalem was the place where God said, it is here where I will establish my throne, and my throne will reign forever. Somebody from the line of David will sit on the throne in Jerusalem forever. And now this happens. They're taken from Jerusalem. They're taken from the comfort where they know everything. The worship rocks. They get words. They're comfortable. They're safe. They know one another. They know that God is in their midst. They've got all the promises that are yes and amen. And they are feeling good. And then Nebuchadnezzar comes, takes them away, and they get transported, taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And Babylon is the place that is so contrary to Jerusalem. Babylon in the Bible represents a few things. I just quickly want to run through them with you. Babylon, the first time we see Babylon in the Bible, it speaks about Nimrod. He was the first ruler in biblical terms that gathered a whole bunch of other tribes. He conquered them, ruled over them harshly, and established his own kingdom for him. So Babylon in the Bible almost always refers to a man-made system. Man's way, in other words. Rebellion against God. We know about the story about the Tower of Babel, where all the different people came together, that one language, and then God eventually said, "But I have to intervene, because these people are so set upon accomplishing their purpose, I have to confuse them. Otherwise, nothing will be impossible to them." And they had so much pride in their hearts and rebelled against God. They wanted to be like God, just like Satan wanted to be. Again, so Babylon speaks about a man-made system, doing things your own way. It speaks about rebellion against God. And it speaks about the fact that there's a system. As soon as you come into the kingdom, most of us have realized that all the problems from the past don't just automatically go away. Once you have made a promise to God, once you have dedicated your life to God, it's not as if the devil rolls out a red carpet for you. You get home and all the family, all the time, is very excited that you gave your life to the Lord. That sometimes happens. Very often, however, we're confronted with a lot of people that look at you and say, "Okay, so this is a new fad. You're just a steering thing. You're just an emotional high. It will blow over." You explain it to your friends. They give you a lot of resistance. At work, sometimes stuff inside of you just want to rise up, and your finances don't want to work. And there's a lot of resistance against you saying, "I want to be someone that lives my life for the purposes of God." Like Joseph, you find people coming at you, making life difficult for you. He had to run away from a woman who gave, literally threw herself at him. Just stuff popping up with the woodwork coming against you. And Babylon speaks about everything in your life right now that is frustrating you and that is wanting to pull you out of the promised land that God has for you. Each one of us has a promised land. Each one of us has a place where we can live in fellowship with God. And in the New Testament, when we talk about a promised land, we're not speaking about a geographical area. We are speaking about that place where I know that God is here, I'm with Him, and nothing can come between us. And it speaks about the fact that God, as a beautiful word came, when Jesus is walking amongst us and He's giving us a crown, a scepter, and a kiss on the cheek, that He has a purpose for you. Where that purpose is for those of us who receive the word that we need to get into a healthy relationship with finances. Because God is wanting to bless us with entrepreneurial skills and is wanting to bless us powerfully in the area of finances so we can be an instrument of blessing to the people around us. And God has a purpose. And as soon as you make up your mind to follow God, it's not as if you're going to win the lotto tomorrow. That would be a theological problem. Writing for a lot of, "Lord, I'm filling this number in Jesus' name. See where this goes." Not a good idea. But it's not as if everybody's going to come and just going to give you a car, it's going to give you the hospital. Some of us have dreams of orphanages we want to establish. You're not just going to walk into that orphanage. Somebody's going to come and say, "Hey, here it is." There are things that need to happen, a preparation in our hearts needs to take place, faithfulness, etc. And the way that Babylon holds before us is sometimes a lot easier. Again, it's a sermon for another time. The last point around Babylon is it's a place of confusion. That's why I want to focus on. Okay, it's a place of confusion that comes from a false religion that says to us that there is another way, there is an easier way. God's way isn't the best way to follow. There must be another way than forgiving all the time. There must be another way than setting other people higher than yourself. There must be another way than just being faithful, and even though other people are crooking on the tax returns, filling in everything beautifully, why should you be doing it? There must be another way. Some just have your way, man. Just go for it. Just click on the button. Buy the magazine. Give that person a piece of your mind. Let the flesh stand up a little bit. But mostly Babylon speaks about a place where you feel like you are trapped. And all of those things sort of seem to come together at one time. You feel confused all of a sudden. You feel as if suddenly there are doors opening up and you're having to make decisions between, will I continue to be faithful to God or will I follow another route? You're confronted with things in your heart that want to stand up and cry out for your attention. You feel trapped in this life and just feel so uncomfortable. It just is, God, if I could just live in church for the rest of my life, if I could just experience this worship wherever I go, if I could just have all the safe people around me all the time, and when we say one thing, we all understand what we mean. We all forgive one another after we've bashed each other up in the soccer game. We don't hold grudges. It's just so easy. Can I just have all the safe people around me all the time? Just be a pitch my tent here. Some of us are caught in a situation where we feel trapped in our lives. And it's to you that I want to speak. Because God comes and speaks to the Israelites. Go to the next one. And He says to them in verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. He's saying to them, listen, right where you are finding yourself now, whether you are in exile, in other words, whether you are frustrated right now because you are in a place where you are reaping the consequences of some actions that you took, some decisions which you made, and now you're having to just bear those consequences, whether you are sitting with the fruit of what somebody else did to you, and you are the one sitting with the gebakte pere, whether you're in a place where you've inherited something physically or spiritually, maybe even from your fathers, your ancestors, you're sitting with some weaknesses in you that you see reflected in your dad and your grandfather. So whatever the case might be, I want you to know that I'm above history and that I am sovereignly in control. Paul explains this for us beautifully in Romans 8:28, where he says that God is able to make all things work together for your good. And it ties in with what Britta said. But if you think, for as long as you think, that I'm being punished by God, I didn't pray for a week, 2 weeks maybe, have quiet times, or sing in the Spirit, or whatever, so God is going to withhold some things from me. But as long as you think that God is against you, it is very difficult for you to experience what He wants to give you. And He had to come to the Israelites and He had to say to them, listen guys, you are in exile because I've disciplined you, yes. I've sent you there, yes. The problem is that if we look at God's discipline as punishment, we will resist it. God's discipline isn't punishment. Punishment is where you come down hard on somebody wanting to punish them for what they did. Discipline is where you wanting to lead them to a place where they can get to experience all that you have for them. It's like with my kids. I have to discipline them often nowadays. But I don't send Annika to her room and hock her for 5 weeks until she can come out there with just a gentler touch on her brother's face. You know, we would deal with a situation, we spank where we need to spank, then we go and have some ice cream and we have fun. We go on with life. And then after every scratch on Jonathan's back, that is like 5 days grounded for you. And I'm not going to talk to you, and I'm going to be nasty, I'm going to ignore you, because you are being punished for being wrong and doing wrong. No, I discipline her. The discipline is simply to bring her to a place where she can enjoy her brother's company, where her brother can enjoy her company, and we as a family can enjoy each other's company, so that we can be a bigger blessing to her and she can be to us. That is the purpose of discipline. So God is saying to the Israelites, you are in exile, in Babylon, where everything is feeling uncomfortable to you. And just wish, God, just deliver me from this. Just get me out of Babylon. And what actually happened was they got prophets to say to them, listen, you're going to be delivered out of Babylon soon. You're not going to be here for long. You're going to get out of Babylon. And then God comes and God says, no. Those aren't prophets that I've seen. You are in Babylon. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar took you there. But you are there because I'm disciplining you. That sounds like bad news. That sounds like God said, you're going to be stuck here, buddy, in this cage of frustration. You're going to be stuck here at this job where people are cursing around you all the time. You're going to be stuck in the sports team where people want nothing to do with Jesus and they're sleeping all around. They think that you've fallen out of the ark. You're going to be stuck here. You're going to be miserable here in your singleness or in your childlessness and your joblessness. You're going to be stuck here. This is my punishment for you being so silly and disobedient. God is saying, no, you are there. Irrespective of whether you have come there because of your own mistakes, of God's discipline. He's wanting to bring you in that situation to a place where you understand His heart for you. Where you understand that His heart and His thoughts for you are thoughts of peace. They give you a hope. They give you a future. Look what God says to them. He says, you are in exile and you will remain in exile. That's the bad news. The good news is, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. That's good news. Take wives. That is wonderful news. Beget sons. And that was spoken to a whole bunch of men. Okay, so men have a wife. Men have wives, you know, collectively. Okay? Take wives and beget sons. Don't take that as a word, guys. You know, wives. Okay? Wife, singular. Your wife. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. There's something that happens when you are in exile where you believe that you are being punished. Your fruitfulness disappears. Your desire to be fruitful disappears like thin air. And suddenly you just see thorns and thistles all around you. But the desire to be productive, the desire to leave behind a legacy, the desire to clean, the desire to create something disappears because you have given up and you feel like you're in a cage. And that's why some of our rooms are in such a mess. Because we feel that we're being exiled and God is punishing us. We have given up hope. And our minds are a mess. It's disordered and it's chaotic because we have given up hope. You feel you've been punished and you're just waiting to get through this punishment. And God is saying no. In the midst of your frustration, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where your family, whether your family is getting saved now or not. It doesn't matter whether your boss, when he walks in, sees the halo on your head or not and believes the word you bring is from God or thinks you're stupid. It doesn't matter. It says where you are, where you're finding yourself right now, build a house. What does it mean? It simply means come and create capacity for the Holy Spirit to feel welcome. Build him a house. Where you are, in your dorm, in your class, in the taxi, wherever you are. Some of us are being disciplined by the Lord. I would imagine in a room this size, with the amount of people we have here. If we are not being disciplined by the Lord, then there's something wrong. The Bible says the Lord disciplines those He loves. And we are people loved by God. So, for each one of us on a certain level, we have been disciplined or are being disciplined by God. And I want you just to make a shift to know that God's discipline isn't to punish you. God's discipline is simply to bring you to a place where you can experience, you can see, you can taste His goodness. Where you can lie back and relax and enjoy His goodness. And He's saying to you, don't put your life on hold. Just because you are being disciplined in an area. Just because you are not seeing breakthrough in your finances, don't put your life on hold. Don't isolate yourself from fellow believers because you feel ashamed that you don't have the money to go on the camp, for instance. Just because there's something happening in your life and the Lord is putting His finger on something and is challenging you about lust, guys, don't cut yourself off from all women. And not wanting to have good relationships with women in the church. Your healing is going to come as you learn to relate to the women as sisters in the Lord. And just because you are struggling with certain issues in your life, the Lord is challenging you and you're submitting to Him, doesn't mean that your whole life is now in hell. God says, no, you're in exile, my man, build a house there. Invite him in there. Take a wife, marry, get kids, plant stuff, eat it, and prosper in exile. And so I believe that for some of us tonight, the Lord is wanting to say to you, you need to step out of the cage. You're actually blaming God for a lot of the frustration in your life. And you're hiding behind an excuse not to be fruitful because God is busy disciplining you. And I have a few friends, I speak to them, how are you doing? No, man, God is doing stuff. What is He doing? Oh, man, it's deep, man. Okay? How deep? I don't know, just but it's deep. Just sitting on it. And I'm the first one to admit sometimes God does do things in your life and you can't put words on it. It stirs things in your heart. But as you're in the Word in you, and you live in the Holy Spirit, it begins to reveal those things to you. But what I do know is that putting the rest of your life on hold until this thing gets sorted out, I'm going to speak to you 5 years from now, and it's still going to be deep. Only problem now is you're going to be unhappy and frustrated, but it's still going to be deep. You've got to get to the place where you say, Lord, I'm not going to put my life on hold. I'm going to live. Yes, I'm in the job, and the job isn't the thing that I literally actually want. It's not the job that I dreamt of, but I'm here, and here I'm going to invite the presence of the Lord. And yes, I'm having to study for 5 more years, and the Exodus might be finished, and then get married, and have the kids, or drive the car, or do what's in my heart. But while I am here, in these 5 years, I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to invite your presence in here. Maybe I must get married while I'm still studying. That could happen. It's not impossible. Pray about it. Consult. Get wisdom. But what it speaks about is build relationships. Quality covenant relationships that God wants to bring in your life. Stop punishing yourself. Stop believing that God has got you in the cage and you're going to live there, you're going to die there. You're just going to wait until you get whacked over the head with the deliverance that you are waiting for. God says, no, why are you waiting? Some of you are holding on to words God has given you a few years ago. Keep on holding on to them. But while you're holding on to them, don't forget to live. Don't forget to enjoy life. Don't forget to have a smile on your dial, as the Lord told us in the camp. He's smiling over us. For some of us, it's like a major revelation because we have forgotten how to smile. We're so deep and spiritual, our faces just reflect. Oh, God is doing. Sometimes I'm worshiping. Oh, man, I can take a picture of myself. I'm worshiping. It's like, yeah. That's good because God does stuff in us, you know. And we've got to know we walk out there. Reflect His joy, what He has placed inside of us. To build a house, enjoy life. And verse 7 is the one I want to finish off. God says, I'm going to bless you where you are. My thoughts of giving you a hope in the future, giving you peace, isn't reserved for one day. He says, while you are in exile right now, while you are confronted with the pagan worship of the Babylonians, while you are in such a state of turmoil, such a lot of confusion around your mind, you see all the stuff around you, the naked woman, you see the prostitution in the temple, you see the idolatry, you see all these things happening around you as Jews, it was tremendously discouraging to them. I want you to make a peace with the fact that you need to prosper where I've placed you. And then he says, verse 7, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. Just go to the next slide. Same verse. Yeah. Babylon is not the enemy. This place of confusion, this place of idolatry, this place of rebellion against God, false worship, it is not the enemy. Your boss is not the enemy. Your study course is not the enemy. Your prof is not the enemy. The hard car is not the enemy. The doop captain is not the enemy. Like your dad that doesn't want to speak to you or doesn't want to listen to you when you speak about Jesus is not the enemy. The city that we live in is not the enemy. The politicians around us, they're not the enemy. The guys and the women making the decisions that impact us and sometimes impact upon us negatively, they're not the enemy. God is saying, I've actually taken you to Babylon, and yes, some of it's got to do maybe with a little bit of discipline, but the greatest reason why you're there is because I want you to be a blessing to the people around you. But for as long as we see our city, maybe, or the thing that I'm studying, or my family, or my classmates, for as long as I see them as the enemy, it'll be very difficult to shine there. The guy is saying to them, that guy that desecrated the temple and went in there, took all the holy things, took all his unclean soldiers in there into the most holy of holies where you as a normal Jew couldn't even go. You know what I want you to do with that guy? I want you to pray for him. I want you to pray that he has peace. Not that God comes and gives him a nightmare at night and tells him to be nice to you and to repent for how cruel he's been to you. Pray that he will have peace. Pray that his enemies won't get to him, they won't assassinate him. Pray that he will prosper. Pray that Babylon will prosper. It's a major mind shift for us to make. And we're still going to continue to talk about this as we're going on in the year. So how can we practically be a blessing to our city? How can I practically be a blessing to my faculty? To my professor? To the guys who demmed me from tutorials? How can I leave a blessing behind for them to know that God's thoughts towards them are thoughts of peace and of a hope in the future? How can I just be a shining light? And Jeremiah 29:11 would be just blazing through me. And so at the end, I'm wanting us to just bring our hearts before the Lord. And some of us just have to come to the Lord and just say, Lord, I repent for putting my life on hold. I repent for believing that you are against me. I'm being disciplined, God. I'm fighting against it. And I've allowed my spirit just to go and lie down. I've lost my hope. I believe that you cross with me. I want to come back to the reality of this verse. Your thoughts towards me are good thoughts. To bless me, to prosper me. And you want a house for me. You want me to get married. You want me to enjoy life. You want me to prosper. You want me to provoke the world around me to jealousy. Then to see your goodness through me. Then I believe there's some of us that we have to repent just for our stinking attitudes towards the place that we see as Babylon. And you would rather not be in that place. You'd rather not be in that one specific class. You'd rather not be in your own family. If you have a choice between going home or going on a church camp, you'll definitely go on a church camp first. And that is okay. But there might be a time the Lord says, I want you to take church back home. I want you to go and visit your folks, and I want you to take church with you there. Just love them. Not walk in there singing in the spirit, freaking them out. Say, repent. Praying for them, loving them, washing your dad's car, picking up your own clothes, giving your mom a break, being nice to her, hugging her, saying that I love you, mom, I appreciate you. Being labeled more Christ-like, instead of looking at all the people around us as our enemies, and taking church to them. We see that God comes in. Let's go to the next one. And warns us the greatest thing, saints, that we have to stand against is this confusion. I want to pray for specific ones here this evening that your mind is a little bit confused as to God's thoughts towards you. Even while we were worshiping, there were all a bunch of thoughts going through your minds, flashing through your mind. It's a little bit like somebody wondering whether the girl loves him or not. He wonders whether she loves him, loves me not, loves me, loves me not. You feel like that sometimes. You feel like sometimes that you have woken up on God's bad side. If God were ever to go to bed, you find him in a bad spot. Someone way in Pakistan or somewhere made him very cross. Now he's taking it out on you. And you just can't seem to get through to that goodness. Get a lot of resistance from him. This confusion. And we just want to bind that spirit because I want to say to you that it's a spiritual assignment that's been sent against you. That God has a thought and a plan for you. Hope, peace, and of a future. Just skip the next one and go to the last word. Yeah, the one before. John 16:33. God comes to the Israelites and says to the Israelites, listen, I'm going to fulfill my word to you. And this is where I'm going to end. I'm going to leave this with you. I'm going to fulfill my word to you, God says. You are in exile. You are in Babylon. You are surrounded by things and people that make you very upset. You really don't think of them as people you would choose to live around. You feel like you're being moved out of the things you're comfortable with. Like when I was in America, if I could have gone back, while I was there, back to South Africa a little bit sooner, I would have done it. I was just unhappy. I was in a bad space. Going there and experiencing a lot of resistance and opposition until I got to the place where I just said, I made a peace with where I am. Say, God, even if I don't reach any of these youngsters in my classes, I'm still going to open up my heart for you to come and do what you want to do. And that's when God can bring the change. But for as long as I was fighting the culture, I was fighting the way they were just so aggressive verbally, and just the metal detectors and all the things were just so foreign to what I was used to. and arrogance and all the stuff that I could only see all of that. And they felt so close to me. They felt like they were resisting me all the time. But I had the resistance in my heart. When I came, I repented to the Lord. I said, God, forgive me for my bad attitude towards them. Their hearts were shifted like that. I couldn't believe it was the same people. For some of us, the Lord is going to do the circumcision in our hearts. Just to get us to a place where we can truly love Babylon. And for each one of us, Babylon means something different. I know what it means to you. I want to leave this promise to you. God said, my good word is to you. In the world, you will have tribulation. And you will have resistance. You will have opposition. Things won't always make sense to you. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Whether you're in Babylon or whether you're in Jerusalem. Whether you sense the presence of God or whether it seems like you're in a spiritual desert, He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. So I want to pray for us if we could stand. And I'm just wanting to ask the Holy Spirit to just once again bring us face to face. I know it's a familiar word, but just to bring us face to face with the reality of Jeremiah 29:11. I would encourage some of you that you have, as soon as you read the verse on the cards that were given to you, sort of put the card away. Go and find the verse again. Okay, there's something the Lord wanted to say to you. Just for us to open up our hearts. Because in this room tonight there's, I would imagine, circumstances in so many lives that resist that. That you look at the verse and say, oh Heinrich, but that doesn't seem to be true in my case. Not in my finances. Not in my body. Not in my family. I see a lot of evil. I see a lot of brokenness. I don't see too much of a hope. I don't see too much of a future. And the Lord is wanting to say to you that He is wanting to open up your eyes. You just come face to face with His love again. And so we're going to sing that song again. We're not going to get away from it. I think it's going to be a refrain, a theme for us for quite a while. Sing about His love. And as the band softly plays, I just wanted to read this verse for you again. God is saying over your life. Okay? The promise that He made you. We're going to just go back to the first slide, Tanya. The Lord saying to you, if I know the thoughts. I just want you to close your eyes and forget about the people standing next to you. Holy Spirit, just come, Lord, and pray for the many thoughts that are going through minds here tonight. Lord, the many thoughts that we want to say the opposite, Lord, to what You are saying. And God, I thank You that we can come together, Lord, right now and just take authority over the spirit of confusion that we want to sow seeds of doubt into our hearts and into our minds concerning Your thoughts. God, I bring before You the many memories that are popping up into minds right now. Memories they don't seem to be able to get away from whenever they close their eyes. So many memories of things that happened in the past. Words that were spoken over them. Holy Spirit, I thank You that, Lord, You replace those memories tonight. You bring healing to those memories, God. So Lord, I thank You for the power of Your Word. It does not return to You void. And I believe that this is what the Lord is saying. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you, Adrian, Santi, Damien. To give you future and a hope. There is hope in your future. There is hope in your future. There is hope in your future. And Lord, collectively we stand before You, God, as Your church. And we want to say, Lord, that we embrace Your discipline, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that those of us who are being disciplined by You, that It's merely, God, you just bring us closer to you. I pray for the hearts, Lord, that are experiencing you as it's a very harsh God. It's a punitive God. It's the one who delights in punishing and withholding and preventing all the time, frustrating. I pray, Lord, that they would embrace your discipline this evening, God, not as punishment, Lord, but it's a loving act of kindness. Just to bring them closer, Lord, to the reality of your love. So they can experience your love. To believe, Lord, is saying to some of us that we are resisting the principles in God's word and we're resisting the boundaries God is wanting to establish around us because we fear what it will cost us. And Lord is saying to us that those boundaries are simply designed to keep you close to Him. Simply designed to keep you in a place where He's not going to love you more, but where you can experience His love more. Some of us, that the Lord has challenged us to give up certain things and we are holding on to them for dear life. I just believe that the Lord is wanting you just to raise your hands to Him, speaking to you in this area. Just to say, Lord, that I know that I have to give this up, but I don't even know how. But I ask you that you will show me. I accept your discipline. It's an act of love. And I accept your thoughts towards me, that you love me. That you have a future, that you have a hope for me. God, we come and we want to pray for this beautiful city of ours, God. We want to pray for our workplaces. We want to pray for our campuses. We thank you, Lord, for the Babylons in which you have placed us. We thank you, Lord, for places that are not comfortable. We thank you for work environments and family situations that are not comfortable, God. But you have given us a promise that within those places, your presence wants to dwell through us, Lord. So we say to you, God, we commit ourselves to build you a house. A house in which you can feel welcome and safe. A house, God, that's not going to be limited to the Sunday. It's not going to be limited to the Wednesday or to the program, God. But a house that goes with us wherever we go. So, Lord, I thank you for a whole bunch of mobile homes here, God. Mobile homes that will carry your presence, God, wherever and whenever. Let us bask in His love. If the Lord has... The Lord has spoken to you. There's something in your heart that you want to lay before Him. I want to encourage you to come to the front right now. There's something in your mind that is resisting this thought that God loves you. There's a future for you. I want you to respond just now. Maybe there's something, an area in which the Lord is challenging you, disciplining you, and you just know that, man, I don't experience this as love. I know it's God, but it feels so hard. It feels like I'm lining up for six of the best in the headmaster's office instead of being loved by my daddy. And we want to pray for you specifically. And then definitely if you are here, you can't even relate to God as your daddy. You've never been introduced to Him. It's the one who loves you. It's the one who gave His Son for you. To say that the thoughts that I have for you, don't wonder about those thoughts. Don't doubt those thoughts. Just look at Jesus on the cross. That is a summation of my thoughts for you. That is my love for you. The hope and the future that I have for you is in Him. I just want you to come back home. And I would love to pray with you specifically. And I would ask you just to come to the front and come stand here on my left hand side. To get all the other people that need prayer. So we just lift up our hands to the Lord and say, God, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you love us dearly. And even God, as we come towards the end of the service, Lord, we thank you for placing us in Babylon. We thank you, Lord, that we can open up our arms, Lord, to your love and to say, God, come in love through us. Come in love through us, God. Come in love through us. Thank you for loving us. We accept your love for us. We accept your love in us. We accept your love through us, God. In Jesus' name. God, and thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can make a peace with the fact that we are loved by the King of the universe. We can rejoice in it. We love you, God. We bless you, God. We worship you.